We've been talking to him to get some idea of how important the BBC Russian service is within the Soviet Union.
I rather think it's very important because a lot of people there do listen and they look to it to provide not only news of the outside world, but of news about what's happening in the Soviet Union. This is one of the things I rapidly learned after arriving there 3 years ago, more than 3 years ago, namely that people used to tell me, look, it's all very interesting hearing about Rhodesia and Africa, but we would really like the BBC to tell us about what's going on in our country. Now, in many respects, that boiled down to talking about dissident affairs, but it wasn't just dissident affairs. They wanted to hear what was happening there, and lots of people were listening all over the country, so it covered a rather wide area. So the BBC, in effect, when it did its job well, was reporting stories inside the Soviet Union which were not reported by the official radios.
So how much were you feeding stories back that you received to be rebroadcast in the Soviet Union?
Oh, quite a lot, in actual fact. I had to watch my step largely, because if ever I reported something happening inside the Soviet Union, it almost inevitably brought a follow-up, not from officialdom, but from new people, new sources, who were trying to get in touch with me to tell me about their troubles, etc., etc., and pass on information they would like reflected back in broadcasts by the BBC. Of course, a lot of people were seeking publicity, and one had really to examine these stories very carefully and to judge whether they were basically good news stories in their own right or just part of a campaign by certain people or groups to obtain the publicity they wanted. But I think it worked pretty satisfactorily, and the result of it was that lots of people told me things, and lots of people phoned me fairly rapidly if something happened, so it bolstered my sources and made my name and the BBC's name well known all over the Soviet Union, and I think the BBC profited in the news it gained because of that.
But did you ever get any criticism from people?
Oh, yes. In fact, I received personal criticism for maybe getting a point wrong here or giving a wrong impression there. They were very quick to come back to me on that point. But at the same time, I received criticism not from people in Moscow, from people in Leningrad. I remember a group of academics, people at the university, wrote a letter to me, beginning very politely and saying, we do appreciate your broadcasts and all the rest of it, but we notice that there is a new announcer on the Russian service, and we do feel that she doesn't speak Russian as well as she might, and it's a lowering of quality to which we've become used.
And what about any other interferences there might have been with reception or difficulty in listening in the past? Did that get fed back to you as well?
Oh, of course it does. I mean, people always complain to me in Moscow that the transmitters of the BBC were never strong enough, and the Voice of America was far superior. And lots of people listened to the Voice of America, of course, but they always said we would much prefer to have the same sort of volume coming in at us from the BBC. And earlier this year, I received a rather sad little letter from somebody I used to know in Moscow, but is now serving a term of exile, way out in the east, northeast of the Soviet Union, a place called Yakutia, in one of the coldest areas in the world. And he sent me a nice little letter just to let me know that he was there and well and all the rest of it, and he and his pals, as he called them, were still listening to the BBC regularly every day at 6:45. But he simply added that, you know, if only the BBC's transmitters were a little stronger, it would be all that much more enjoyable.
Kevin Ruane, formerly our Moscow correspondent, reminiscing there from Caversham.
The interference has apparently brought to an end, at least for the time being, trouble-free listening to Western broadcasts which Russians have enjoyed since 1973, 2 years before the Helsinki Agreement was signed. The 35 signatory nations stated their intention to improve the spread of information by radio to increase mutual understanding among peoples. What actually promotes such understanding could be open to interpretation, and Western broadcasting organizations have already been under heavy attack by the government and Communist Party-controlled mass media in this country for alleged slander of the Soviet Union and for allegedly whipping up psychological war against communism. Such attacks have been intensified since the Soviet intervention in Afghanistan and Western reports on that. Veteran Moscow observers say that when jamming was systematic, the Soviet Union never formally acknowledged its existence. There's speculation that the foreign ministry denials might indicate a possible intention eventually to...